Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. You know, finding and keeping a great friend can be tricky, and you never know where a good friend might come from. Kim Whitecamp shares a story from her childhood. It's about a neighbor girl named Anne Margaret, not the famous actress, but same name. And what Kim thought of that neighbor girl and what came of it, well, that's the story. Recorded live in the Appleseed studio, here's Anne Margaret and Me by Kim Whitecamp.
When I was growing up, my dad said that I was so skinny, if I turned sideways and stuck out my tongue, I looked like a zipper. Knobby-kneed, pale white, freckles, big buck teeth, and red hair. As I've aged, it's naturally turned blonde. But I was a little tomboy. My mom called me Dennis, as in Dennis the Menace. I did not like wearing dresses. I didn't like baby dolls. But my mom lived in a state of denial. My mom constantly tried to bend me into being a proper young lady. On Saturday nights, she would take me into the bathroom and give me my bath and then stand me in front of the sink. And she would prepare me because the next day was church. And she would take and wrap my long red hair around her finger. And she would take it up until it was tight against my head, and she'd put two bobby pins crisscross and do that all the way around my head until there was 185 bobby pins pressing into my skull, right? And then I would go to bed and try and sleep on that. It's like a bed of nails. And Sunday morning, I'd get up, and she would go, "Oh, Kimmy, 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 come to the bathroom and let me see." Every week. It's like she never got tired thinking that something magical was going to happen and that things would go differently. Half of them would be hanging out already from moving around, and she'd pull them out, drop them in the sink, and a red curl would fall until she was done, and I'd have red curls all over my head. And then she'd pull back the top, put in a rubber band and a yarn bow, and then she'd say, "Oh, Kimmy, look at you, such a little lady." And I'd say, When we went to church, the adults stayed in the upstairs part of church, and the kids went downstairs for what was Sunday school. I loved Sunday school. I had a teacher in Sunday school that was 240 years old. One time, I was behind her doing something and accidentally bumped the top of her head, and dust came out. It was fascinating. And then when we were done the lesson, she would let us go outside and play. Now, this was my favorite part of church. I would climb trees. I would get on my knees and pick little wild buttercups. And I would walk with my Mary Janes, the only pair I had, a black pair of Mary Janes, nice and shiny, on the roots of the trees. And I would just have so much fun. And then it was time to line up at the door so your parent could pick you up. And I would always want to be the first one at the door because I wanted to see my mom and tell her about everything that I did. She would turn and she would look at me standing in the door way, and she would go, "Oh," and she'd walk over and she'd pull me out from the doorway into a little corner, and she'd say, "Kimmy, how is it possible that in a little less than an hour you've done this to yourself?" And I'd think, "Done what?" And she would begin. First, she'd wet her thumb and she'd run it over my Mary Janes trying to get all the scuffs off. She'd hike my leotards up in front of everybody filing out of class to try and get them to come back up, because from all the running, the foot would have turned and the dirty heel mark was now on the top, right? She would try and fix my hair because the ribbon would be out and wrapped around my wrist because I was Wonder Woman. And in Amish Mennonite country, you have to be able to deflect bullets, right? She said, "Why can't you be more of a little lady?" Right at that moment, out of the other Sunday school classroom would come Anne Margaret. Anne Margaret and I were only inches apart in age, but our birthdays fell on either side of the line. So I was in with the younger kids, even though I was so close to her age, and she got to be with the older kids. Number one reason in this story why none of us in this room like her. Okay? And then she would come walking by. Now, let me explain Anne Margaret. And Margaret had a house across the field from us. And I would be in the yard hanging upside down, letting the dog lick my face, playing with my brothers, digging in the dirt. And I would sometimes look into her yard and she would be sitting on the swing in a little dress and a little white sweater with her perfectly curled brown hair, holding a baby doll, not even swinging. And I'd think, she is so gross. I would be riding my bike up and down the street, and there Aunt Margaret would be in the backyard just sitting on the swing with her little baby doll. Perfect, clean, curled. And she didn't just have one pair of Mary Janes for Sunday. She had a red pair, a white pair, and a black pair, and she wore them all week long. But here's another reason why we should not like her. She would come out of that Sunday school classroom right when my mom would be fixing me up and telling me that I needed to be a little lady. And she'd walk by my mother and she'd go, "Hello, Mrs. Givler." And my mom would go, "Aunt Margaret, you look lovely." "Thank you, ma'am." You know, are you with me on this one? So I want to sing a little song because Taylor Swift was not the first person to write songs about people that upset her. So I wrote her a little song, and I'm going to teach you one line that you need to say. I want you to say, "Fall down."
Fall down.
Oh, yes. That feels so good. And skin her knee.
Skin her knee.
You're terrible. She had a perfect smile, long brown curls, always looking better than the other girls. Wish she was more like me. Fall down and skin her knee. That was Aunt Margaret. Then there was me. That was Aunt Margaret. Then there was me. Well, I had one and she had two names. I wore Keds and she wore Mary Janes. She had little dresses with white sweaters and I wore high waters. Mm-hmm. All my pants, they were high waters. Mm-hmm. Well, two big teeth in the front of my mouth. All the kids called me Bucky. But my daddy said they helped me to chew. And I should consider myself lucky. Mm-hmm. All the kids, they called me Bucky. Mm-hmm. But she had a perfect smile, long brown curls, always looking better than the other girls. Wish she was more like me.
Fall down and skin her knee.
That was Aunt Margaret and me. That was Aunt Margaret. Then there was me. Well, my mom said, "Kimmy, come into the bathroom. I want to put your hair up." And I said, "Mom, why are you putting my hair up on a Friday? Church is Sunday." She goes, "Kimmy, tomorrow's a special day. It's your birthday, and I have a surprise for you." Well, I was so excited that I was like, absolutely. I went in. She put it around her finger, pinned it. And then I went to bed. I could barely sleep. There was a surprise. I got up and I said, "Should I take out the pin curls, Mom?" She said, no, leave them in. She said, "The surprise isn't until a little later." She said, "Get dressed and come down for breakfast." "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Chris," she said, "I want you to take your sister on a walk." She said, "About an hour, hour and a half would be perfect." And off we went. So as we walked, he started to tell me stories and spin stories, and we picked up sticks and we were kings and queens and fighting battles, and we would run and we had a fort out there and we made little corn husk dolls, and then we went down to the creek and we rolled up our pants and kicked off our shoes and we walked through the creek and water snakes were going by, and we just had a great time. And we were walking past my grandma Anna's little farmette and we saw my mom coming out of the house. She wasn't walking, she was kind of hovering and flying towards us, and that is the sign that you have done something wrong. And I stopped at the edge of the yard because it was still a safe space because neighbors could see. And I said, "Mom, what's wrong?" And she goes, "Christopher, I told you an hour and a half, and it has been almost 2.5 hours. Where were you?" And he's like, "Mom, we just walked the normal walk." And she looked at me and she said, "Kimmy, what have you been doing?" My knees were covered with grass stains. My pants were soaked on the bottom. Even my sneakers were squishing. There are still probably bobby pins in the woods where we played. I was filthy and dirty. My face was a mess. I was happy. And she said, "I needed you here so you could clean up and get a bath and fix your hair and put on the new dress that I bought you." And I said, "Mom, what is the big deal? I say, every birthday, it's just my brothers and my sister. And she goes, I have a surprise for you this year. She said, I invited a friend to enjoy your birthday with you. And right at that moment, I heard the side door of the house open and out stepped Aunt Margaret. I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, why is the enemy at my house? And she said, whose house? And I said, you know what I mean, Mom, why? And she said, Kimmy, she never has anyone to play with. You just usually play by yourself and you have your brothers and sisters. So I invited her up to enjoy your birthday party with you. She said, you march inside, go in, get your hair down and brush it. Just wash your face and hands with a wash rag. The dress is on the bed. Yes, ma'am. As I walked to the house, Aunt Margaret was standing there with a baby draped over her shoulder. She had on a yellow and white gingham dress with a crinoline underneath. What a show-off. As I walked by her, she looked me up and down while patting her baby and said, hello. And I looked at her and I said, hello. And I went inside and I went into the bathroom and I began to cry. How could my mom do this to me? This is my birthday. She knows that I don't like her. Why would she invite her to my birthday party? I pulled the bobby pins out of my hair. My hair was tangled. It looked like I had a lion's mane on my head. I washed my hands and face the best that I could, went in, took off my Snoopy t-shirt, my polyester bell bottoms, because we knew style in the 70s. And then I put on the dress she bought me. And I thought, this is just the worst birthday I've ever had in my life. I went out and sat down at the dining room table. They sang happy birthday. I blew out and spit on the cake, and my brothers took their cake and left. They could tell this was not going to be a good situation. And so my mom looked at us and said, I am so glad to see the two of you together. She said, I really want you to enjoy each other. And she left the room. Apparently, she had forgotten that I was a raging redhead. And the minute she was out of earshot, I looked at Aunt Margaret and said, you know, I didn't ask her to have you come here. I don't want you here. Pat that baby. Pat that plastic baby. Well, that didn't get to her. So I said, you know what? I don't even want that gift. And I took my finger and pushed it off the edge of the table. I know, right? She paused her hand above the baby for just a minute. And then she continued to pat. Put her nose up and looked away. And I took a good look at her. And I thought, man, she's never been dirty a day in her life. She is missing out. And I said, hey, Aunt Margaret. And she looked over at me. And in front of me was a piece of my mother's famous black magic cake with peanut butter frosting, my favorite. I slid my hand under the cake and I lifted it and I held it in my hand. And I said, you know what? Her hand was frozen above that baby doll. Her mouth was starting to open. And I said, you don't know what it's like to be dirty. It's fabulous. Watch this. And I leaned back with that piece of cake and shoved it in my mouth. You thought I was going to shove it on her, didn't you? Shoved it in my mouth, peanut butter frosting. I chewed it right in front of her, wiped my hands down that new dress, and I said, it's delicious. She looked at me in shock right as my mother walked in. My mom looked at us, the gift on the floor, Aunt Margaret, hand paused above her plastic baby, mouth wide open, me covered in her rich, dark cake and icing. And she said, what are you doing? And I said, Mom, you don't understand. I don't want to hear it. She said, you go to your room right now. March. I stood up and I went to the room and I went to the bathroom and I stood in front of the mirror and I started to tear up again. I tried to get the icing off of my face. Happy birthday, Kimmy, was written in a blue frosting that, let me just tell you, it spreads in your hair as you try and remove it. I went in and slipped my dress off and threw it into the tub. It was going to need some major work, and put on my clothing. And I went to the door and cracked it. And I heard my mom say, Aunt Margaret, honey, I'm so sorry. I don't know what got into her. She said, I think it's best that you go home. Ba 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 ba. I had won the war. She was going home early. I knew she'd never come back. I was like, yes. And I went skipping out as I heard the door shut. And I said, Mom, can I have another piece of cake? And she said, sit down. I sat down across from her at the dining room table as she wiped with a wash rag the table. And she said, Kimmy, I do not know what you were thinking. I said, Mom, you know, we just don't have anything in common. I don't like her. And she said, I don't care. She said, you know what I think? Maybe you don't know everything. She said, you're going to go apologize. I said, when? She said, now. I said, yes, ma'am. I left the house and walked really slow down to Aunt Margaret's. I walked up and I knocked on the door and her mama opened the door. And it was then that I realized that her mother always looked perfect, too. She took a look at me and she goes, oh, Kimmy, your hair is blue. I said, I know. She said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, where's Aunt Margaret? And she said, she's out back on the swing. I'm like, I figured. I said, okay. I said, I'm here to apologize to her for my behavior at my birthday party. She said, okay. So I went around the side of the house and opened the gate, and I went in, and I said, I'm here to apologize for my behavior at my birthday party. Nothing. I looked up, and she was white-knuckling the chains. I saw she had tears down her face. Her baby doll was hanging precariously off of her lap. And I said, Aunt Margaret, I came to apologize for my behavior at my birthday party. I'm sorry. Nothing. And I looked at her, and I said, fine. My mom told me to do this, and I did it, so I'm going home. And as I turned around to leave, she used words that we were not allowed to use in our house. She said, I hate you. I turned around and looked at her, and I said, you hate me? I said, you hate me? She said, yes, I hate you. She said, I hate you. She said, I'm down here all the time by myself, and you always are playing with brothers and sisters, and I don't have any brothers or sisters. And she said, and you have a dog, and I want a dog so bad, and my mama won't let me have a dog. And she said, and you have a dad. I see him come home every day, and I don't have a dad. And my mom makes me dress like this, and I hate it because I can't do anything because she doesn't want me to get dirty. I hate you. I stood there and just let that settle in on me. I had just turned 12, and in that moment, I felt more adult than probably any other time in my life. And then I began to laugh. And I began to laugh, and she said, get out of my yard. You are not allowed in my yard ever again. I said, no, you don't understand, because I hate you too. And she said, why? I said, oh, Mom, you're perfect. My mom thinks you're perfect. She loves your hair. She loves your bows. She loves your dresses. You never get dirty. And that was that. I left. And the next day, I went down and knocked on the door, and her mama answered. And I said, hi, I'm here to see if Aunt Margaret can come out and play. And she goes, I said, I promise I'll bring her back clean. And she said, let me see if she wants to come along. And I said, okay. And she did. Man, oh man, did I teach her the ropes. I taught her which berries she could eat that would only make her throw up a little bit. We went out into the woods and we played at the fort and I was the queen and I told her that she was the peasant because my game. I taught her how to make corn husk dolls. I taught her how to drive my remote control car. I taught her how to rubber band her plastic baby doll to the remote control car and watch it hurtle down the road. I taught her how to go down to the creek, slip off her shoes, lay her little leotards beside them gently, and to hold her dress and to run like a wild animal through that creek. And then we'd dry off sitting on the porch of my great-grandma Detter's, and then we'd get her all suited back up, and I'd take her home and deliver her. My first album is Freckles, Fibs, and Family. And on the back it says, if your name is Aunt Margaret and you ever lived on Farm Drive, please email me. We became best friends for several years, and then her mom met somebody, got married, and I can remember standing at the end of the driveway waving at her as she left. The only thing we had back then were letters and maybe a phone call.
We didn't have all the social media of today, and over time, we went our separate ways. But our few years together as the very best of friends was almost bittersweet, because even as a child, and even till now, I recognize that if I would have heard her story, which she told me unedited, unprepared, in an authentic moment in seconds, it shifted the whole foundation of what we saw in each other. And it has stayed with me to understand not to judge those that irritate me. We don't know what they're swallowing on a daily basis. That is my friend Ann Margaret.
That was Kim Whitecamp and her story, Ann Margaret and Me. And listening to this story put me in mind of some of the friends I had when I was a little kid. Maybe it did the same thing for you. Maybe hearing Kim's story, you're thinking of a particular person. I'm thinking of a few. Here's one. When I was a tiny kid, my dad was a folk singer for a living, and a local family became fans of his music, and they wanted to hold a little concert in their home. Well, the concert was cool. It was cool to see my dad playing music and cool to see people liking it. And that concert gave rise to a friendship between the family that threw the concert and my family. And the family that threw the concert, the Garbett family, had a little girl about my age, Sarah, and we became friends. She was probably my first friend. That's how little we were. And sometimes when you're a kid, you think that maybe everything in your life at that time is just the little kid stuff, the training wheel stuff, that you'll grow up and find the real stuff, the stuff that will be with you for the rest of your life, the real job or the real place to live or the real friends. And sometimes you don't recognize that the things that are happening to you as a kid are the real things, that they'll last as a foundation for the rest of the stuff. And that's how that relationship with Sarah felt. And I've told you about her, but I could just as easily be talking about James and Jeff Lamping, with whom I played with Star Wars action figures, or David Fife, with whom I listened to records in the attic, or Darren Dibb, who was my wingman at 100 church dances, or any one of a dozen others. Being with them back then was like, eating candy or something. It was mostly about fun. I didn't realize it then. But know now that it was less like eating candy and more like planting seeds. The memory of those folks is a rich harvest. And the ones with whom I've remained connected, including Sarah Garbett, bless my life in all kinds of ways. I'm enjoying the harvest. I wish I would have been better equipped to pay attention in the ancient time when the seeds were first growing. Well, that's where Kim's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? There's a lot coming up, but first I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Top of Mind, and it's perfect for people who want to engage with tough issues that matter in our communities, but are turned off by how polarizing and divisive these conversations can sometimes be. Each week, Top of Mind tackles one tough, important topic. An award-winning host, Julie Rose, talks with guests who have complicated perspectives that are sure to challenge you. Now, they're not trying to change your mind, just give you the chance to find more empathy and clarity so you can become a better citizen and a kinder neighbor. Listen to Top of Mind on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all kinds of ways to find Top of Mind, and listen whenever you like, whenever you need it. Top of Mind with Julie Rose from BYU Radio. It's such a pleasure to be with you on the Appleseed today. And next up, we have Lynn Ford with a great folk tale about a dog and a rabbit who try to be friends. Can they get along? What do you think? We've already heard stories about unlikely friendships working out. Is this one of those stories, or does it go somewhere else? Here's Lynn Ford with Rabbit and Dog, recorded live in the Appleseed studio.
I have one more story for you right now. It's not a very long one. But you have to remember that you are the rabbit in this story. In American Sign Language, if you put your pointer fingers up, but turn them back away, not forward, this is rabbit. Because rabbits tend to put their ears flat at times. Some lay them to the sides like hares do. But the little rabbit, and you can be a little rabbit, was hopping around the field. You can pat on your legs and help them hop. And this was once upon a time, about time and a half ago, according to my grandfather. Pop-Pop said, as that little rabbit was hopping around, along came a dog. Now, dog didn't have any friends, and he pouted about it. Oh, I don't have any friends. Nobody likes me. And the other dogs on the farm said, that's 'cause you're mean. You don't treat anybody nicely. You just chase everybody for no reason whatsoever. Bark, bark, bark all the time. Get us all in trouble. You need to mind your manners and behave yourself. Dog said, whoop, nope. I'm going to find myself another friend. You can't be my friends. You trying to boss me around. And the dog left the fields of the farm and went out into the green meadows. And there was that rabbit. Show me the rabbit's ears. And he was hopping along. And the dog called out, Roof! Hello, friend! And the rabbit said, and was trying to figure out, where's my hidey hole? Where's my hidey hole? What's wrong with my brain? I can't think. I don't know what to do. I'm gonna die. The dog ran up to him and said, nope. I'm not gonna hurt you. I wanna be friends. Rabbit said, what? I wanna be friends. Let's play a game. We'll play tag. I'm it. You run. Well, Rabbit wasn't sure this was a good idea, but he didn't know what to do, and he didn't know which direction was his hidey hole, so he started running with the dog right behind him, getting closer and closer and closer until the dog grabbed him. Rabbit said, ooh! But the dog just patted him on the head, boink, 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 and set him back down, and dog thought, I got a friend. And Rabbit thought, that's not too bad. Okay, you caught me. It's my turn to chase you. Dog said, nope. That's not how I play tag. Run. Well, Rabbit started running again, lickety-split. This was not the way to play this game. Dog chased him, got closer and closer, and grabbed him. And Rabbit was waiting for the pat on his head. Boink, boink, boink. But Dog bit both his ears. Ow, ow. Rabbit said, ow, man, what are you doing? Dog set him down and said, that's how I play tag. Rabbit said, well, should be my turn to chase you now. Dog said, nope. Run. Well, this went on for as long as it took for Rabbit to find his hidey hole. Sometimes Dog would snatch him up and pet him on his head. And sometimes Dog would snatch him up and bite both his ears and let him go. And finally, Rabbit knew where he was. He saw the sweet clover. He could smell the mint growing in the grass. And zoop, down his hidey hole he went. And the dog got to that hidey hole and said, oh, hey, we're playing. We're friends. Rabbit said, no, no, Mr. Dog, we can't be friends. 'Cause see, if you were really my friend, you wouldn't bite me. But you say you're my friend, and sometimes you pat me on the head, and you say you're my friend, and sometimes you bite my ears, and all you're doing is confusing me. So I think the best thing for me to do is leave you alone. And Rabbit stayed down in that hidey hole. And if that dog never changed his ways, well, he never found any friends. You see, you have to be careful who might be your true friend and who's telling you a tale. Because if they're a friend, they will never bite you. And an enemy will never embrace you. And if someone is doing both, they're just confusing the whole situation. So be like Rabbit and just let them go. And that's the end of my stories.
That was Lynn Ford with Rabbit and Dog. Did you ever think one thing about a person and then change your mind when you really got to know them? Did you ever have someone you found difficult to get along with? How did you resolve that situation? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can message us through our socials or email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We love to hear from you. We want to thank Kim Whitecamp and Lynn Ford for their tales today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. The rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.